Good morning.
Good morning.
We want to welcome all of you. We are so glad that you're with us on this Palm and Passion Sunday. And we want to welcome every one of you today as we enter in to celebrate, not only celebrate, but also to reflect upon this week that is coming ahead, Holy Week and the beginning of it. And one of the questions that I have up there that you happen to see is, what pain and suffering are you facing? And we'll find out a little bit more about that later on in our service. But we want to welcome those that are listening online also. So as we begin, let's stand together and join and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and never shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen.
Well, let's join together for our call to worship. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.
God's steadfast love endures forever.
The stone rejected has become the chief capstone.
God has called him and given him the name above every name.
Let us worship in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's join together and do that. You can turn in your hymn books to 218 or follow along on the PowerPoint. We're singing the three verses of All Glory, Laud, and Honor. Together there for our opening prayer this morning. Thank you, O God, for coming to us in Christ Jesus. Turn our hearts to Him as we remember how He entered Jerusalem so long ago. Open our hearts to the depths of His love as we reflect upon this coming Holy Week. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Thank you. are making their way down.
We're going to invite our kids
to come forward if they would. Was Jesus a track star?
Maybe.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe when he was younger, he ran fast. I don't know. I don't know. I don't remember Jesus being a track star. I don't remember Jesus wrestling anybody to be a winner. Huh? Well, that's interesting. He said, did he walk on water? Yeah. Some people might think of that as a victory. Yes. Well, here's the strange, unusual, and upside down way Jesus wins a victory. He goes to a cross and is crucified on that cross. And he gives his life for each one of us. That seems weird and strange, doesn't it? Why did he do that? Because he loves each of us. Love compelled him to do that. And he won a decisive victory over, as the Bible tells us, over sin and death. And next Sunday when we celebrate Easter, we're going to find out that he came out on the other side of death. And God raised him from the dead. And now he's given a name that's above every name. The name of Jesus. And so we celebrate today because we remember and we reflect upon the way Jesus won a victory. And that's by serving, loving, and giving his life for others. Okay, you can go on downstairs this morning and are the youth going? Okay, I guess the youth aren't going down this morning, so. And as they are making their way down, we're going to go to our time of prayer. And maybe you have a joy or concern that you would like to share this morning with us before we go to prayer. Somebody this morning. Yes.
My cousin Joanne Cantrell in Texas is having a lot of trouble with being weak, and they said they think it's either from cancer or from heart, but they're not sure yet.
Okay. Okay, so we want to remember Joanne this morning and her health issues there with the weakness, not sure yet. Going to be running tests, I'm sure, and lots of them to find out what's going on. So we want to remember her in our prayers. Someone else? Yes.
We need to pray for Dolores because her niece died this week. And then I have a joy. The 150 bags for children's and remember their baby. And a lot of you helped with that. And I thank you, went to Children's Monday, and I just want us to pray that every child that gets one of those remembers it's a joy from God.
Okay. So we want to remember that. Can I have a last name for the family?
The Miller family.
With the loss of that loved one? Okay. Yeah. Yes, we want to remember the Miller family then this morning with the loss of Dolores' niece. I met her at the funeral. She's a lawyer, very articulate. Yes. And so lost her to cancer. And appreciate your prayers for that. And for the children at Children's, right, and hospital. And that are receiving the gifts there. And definitely want to keep them in prayer. Someone else? Yes.
Unspoken.
Okay, unspoken this morning. Someone else I saw, yeah.
I went to visit Bill Wilkins this past Thursday, and he goes Tuesday to be examined. He has an appointment, so we're praying that it's a good one.
Okay. Want to remember him then on Tuesday for his exam and checkup. Praying for a good report. Someone else? Yes.
Unspoken
Okay. Two of those. Did I see? Yes.
Prayers for my brother-in-law, Randy's family, his passing.
What would be the last name?
Clevenger.
Oh, Clevenger. Okay. Yes, that's right. I remember that now. Sorry. We were praying for several, and then one of them passed there. So we want to remember the Clevenger family, the loss of that loved one there. Anybody else then this morning? Yes. Okay. Unspoken. Anyone else then? Yeah.
My cousin Christine started her
chemo, and she's doing it 8 hours. Okay. Yes. Yeah. We want to definitely pray for healing and strength for Christine. I think I moved her already over to the monthly, and definitely want to continue lifting her up as she's going through that treatment for serious cancer there throughout her body. Did I see another hand? Wait, we've got a couple of them. What? Okay, unspoken. Yep, and another one.
I don't know the family name, but the family that they're at the corner of 201 and 571 where the semi ran through their house.
Fisher's the
Randy.
Fisher.
It was a Fisher family?
Yeah.
I never heard anything about that. Oh, well, I heard about the wreck and they care flighted it. Does anybody know? So was that, who was that? Was that somebody from the school district?
Not from the school district.
Okay. 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 Yeah, I was wondering because I kept trying to follow on WHIO to find out who that was, and I never heard anything or saw anything. So, anybody else?
Families of the soldiers of the 101st that died in the helicopter crash.
The helicopter?
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. In Kentucky, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. The loss there. Yeah. Anybody else this morning? All right, quite a few of them there. We want to continue lifting up Dennis in our prayers. We want to continue lifting up Elaine, who is still having issues with, I think, nausea and all of that. I think it's maybe the pain meds and everything there, but is doing, her surgery went great. The surgeon was very pleased with everything, with her knee replacement, but just the after effects of what's bothering her there. And then Dennis with cancer and lifting him up. And anybody else then this morning? All right. Well, we want to go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll give you a chance to do that there quietly in your seats as she plays. You can lift up some of these needs or maybe your own need that couldn't be mentioned. And then I will close us out then this morning. As we pause this morning, we want to give you thanks for your goodness and your grace in our lives. And God, we're thankful that no matter what we're going through, we can look to you. Lord, I was thinking this week as we were coming up to Palm Sunday and looking at Matthew, how just before in chapter 20, we are told the stories about how Jesus was healing people. Right up to that end there before he set his heart towards Jerusalem and what he was going to face. He was continuing to heal and touch people. So Lord, we think about those today that have been mentioned, that are in need, especially those that are in need of healing today. We want to lift them up to you. We pray for Joanne this morning and lift her up to you, Lord. I don't know exactly what's going on, but we ask for your healing touch. We pray that they, as they do tests, they'll be able to find out what's going on here. We lift up Bill, Lord, that's going in for this exam this week and this checkup. And Lord, we're just praying for a continued healing and strength and a good report to come from that. We pray for Christine as she is going in and beginning chemo treatments this week. We pray for healing. We pray for strength and protection, Lord, as she goes through that and faces those things. Lord, we lift up Dennis, Lord, that is battling cancer also and going through treatments. We ask for your healing touch and a miracle there that he needs. And we pray for Elaine, God, that you would continue to touch her in her body, Lord, giving her strength and helping her to get over this nausea. And thank you for bringing her through her surgery successfully and that everything went as it was supposed to, Lord. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we lift up some that have lost loved ones, Lord. We think about the Miller family and the Clevenger family and the Soldiers families, Lord, on the loss of these loved ones, Lord. We just pray for your comfort, your peace, and your grace, God, that you would minister as only you can do, God, and touch each one of them. Lord, we pray for the gifts that went down to the children, God, each at Children's. Lord, we pray for each one of those kids that received a gift, Lord, that it will be a blessing to them and that they will know that they are loved and that God loves them. And we're thankful for that today. Lord, we lift up the family, Lord, that's home was all messed up because of this wreck. God, we just pray for grace and peace and strength there through all of that and that process that they'll need to go through all of that. Lord, we lift up these four unspoken requests today that were mentioned. God, we know that you know each one of them, and we ask that you would minister as only you can do. And Lord, maybe there was someone else or others today that are in the service, Lord, and maybe there's been a pressing need on their heart, something that they didn't mention. We just ask that you would minister and that your hand would be extended as only you can do, as we agree with them today. And Lord, we continue to lift up all of those on our monthly list, Lord, so many of them battling cancers and various serious illnesses, God. We just ask that your healing touch, your healing presence, faith, Lord, strength, Lord, God, you'll grace each one of them, what they're going through and facing, and that you will be with them, Lord, and we're thankful and grateful. Lord, we ask for your blessing upon next Sunday for our Easter services. Lord, that your presence would be real and that you would touch people's lives in a very special way. And we're thankful for that. And Lord, we're also thankful that you are going to be with us through the rest of this time together. As we break the bread of your word, may you just encourage us and give us strength and faith as you continue to use us to be a blessing in our world. And help us, Lord, to lay our burdens down at your feet, and that you are the one that will carry us through, and that you are the one that understands, knows what we're going through. And we're so grateful for all of these things as we ask him now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Well, thank you for joining with us in prayer this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And as our ushers prepare, we want to thank you for your faithfulness and how God continues to use us to be a blessing. So as our ushers come, God bless you as you give today, this morning. Join together there for our prayer of dedication. Holy One, your love for us is so great. Bless this offering so it may reflect God's great love. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning is coming from our lectionary reading, Palm Sunday reading from Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11 this morning. You can follow along there on the PowerPoint. When they approached Jerusalem, and come to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, go into the village over there. As soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs it. He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring. The disciples went and did just as Jesus ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then they sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of him and behind him shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. Who is this? They asked. The crowds answered, it's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his reading or his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Ladies, this one's for you. A lady was walking down the street when she was accosted by a particular dirty, shabby-looking homeless woman who asked her for a couple of dollars for dinner. Well, the lady took out her wallet and got out a $10 bill and asked, if I give you this money, will you buy wine with it instead of dinner? No, I had stopped drinking years ago, said the homeless woman. Will you go shopping instead of buying food? I asked. No, I don't waste time shopping, said the homeless woman. I must spend my time trying to stay alive. Will you spend this on a beauty salon instead of food? I asked. Are you nuts? Replied the homeless woman. I hadn't had my hair done in 20 years. Well, I said, I'm not going to give you the money. Instead, I'm going to take you to dinner with my husband and me tonight. The homeless woman looked kind of shocked. Won't your husband be furious with you for that? Because I'm dirty and I probably don't smell very good. She replied, that's okay, for it's important for him to see what a woman looks like after she gives up shopping, hair appointments, and wine. I want to talk to you this morning about keep palm and carry on this morning. So a week or so ago, I don't remember exactly how long ago it was, Jody was going through some of Chase's stuff in his room. You know how it just starts to get cluttery and everything. And one of his soccer trophies that he had received from years ago was laying on his bookshelf. I'm assuming that as she was going through this, she found it and she laid it up there. And I kind of came in and saw what was going on. I think Jody was not in his room anymore. And I said something to him about his trophy. And he just kind of mumbled under his breath something about participating, you know, as if the trophy meant nothing anymore. Well, in our reading today, I want to draw your attention to the palms this morning. As Jesus processed up the road to Jerusalem, the crowd started shouting hosannas to the Son of David. And they laid their outer garments and their palms on the road beneath his feet where he came through on the donkey. Now, that is an unusual reading. John tells us that they took, that people were waving their palms as Jesus came through. And the reason I'm sharing this and shared that beginning there with Chase is the palms are kind of like the trophies Chase received over the years. They symbolize something, but Chase had forgotten what it was all about. So my question for us this morning is, what exactly did the palms symbolize to the people? And what do they mean for us today? Because every year we have palms in our service that we wave, and we'll probably be waving them when we sing hallelujah to the King of Kings and all that on our last chorus there. And I want to focus on two things that I hope will help us to see. This is very unusual. I've never preached this message or this way, or never seen it quite like this. But something that I read this week caused me to look at this whole story in a different way. And so I want to begin with by talking to you about palms of success. Palms of success. Now, as I was sharing with the kids a little while ago in Jesus' day, the palm was a token of victory. A token of victory. People received palms as a sign of their victory or success in something. Like ancient athletes were given a palm branch that they could hold on to, symbolizing their victory in contests. Ancient lawyers, after winning a case, would affix a palm branch to the doors of their office, or whatever, I don't know if you'd call it an office, but wherever they had their business in that day. A victorious general, after returning from a great battle in victory, while returning to the city and would parade in, would hold a palm branch in his hand and might even wear a toga palmata covered with palm branch designs sewn into it. And the reason I share all of that with you is because it was a sign of victory and was given as a sign of victory. And for us today, the palm branch reminds us Christ was victorious through suffering and death, and now he stands with us in our trials, in our sufferings, in what we are going through today. The palm symbolized Christ and God's victory over the destructive forces that we see in life. Jesus proceeded. This is interesting as I was doing a little research, because Matthew says that they were coming up, because you always, when you go to Jerusalem, you're always going up. You're never going down. You're always coming up to Jerusalem, because Jerusalem was on higher level. And when they went past the Mount of Olives, Matthew tells us that about the Mount of Olives being there, Jesus proceeded into the city, most likely passing by the place within a few days where he would suffer and die. And Jesus, no doubt, had something, I think, in his mind about all of this, because he knew what was coming down the pike. Because not only Mark's the most explicit one that tells us where Jesus constantly, three times, told his disciples that he was going to suffer and die. And as I thought about that, I started thinking, Jesus rode in there, everybody was celebrating, they were heralding him as king, and they wanted him to deal with the Romans and set up God's kingdom. And Jesus knew that there was a different path that he was going to take. And that was going to be a path of suffering and death. And as I was thinking about that this week, I started to think, love pushed Jesus that day. Love pushed Jesus. Love for you and I. Love for the world, as John tells us. To face head on the forces that he was going to encounter and come up against. The forces of fear and isolation and separation and accusation and death and suffering. And a tomb. His radiance and goodness and love utterly vanquished and forever broke the emptiness, the coldness, and the darkness of sin and death's grip. And now he stands with us in our suffering. I'm reminded of in the book of Acts, where Luke tells us the story of Stephen, who stands up in front of the crowd and tells them that he tells them about Jesus and what Jesus had done and so forth and so on. And when he says that they did that to Jesus, they all got mad and they picked up stones and they wanted to stone Stephen, Luke tells us. And in the midst of that, Luke records Stephen seeing a vision. And in that vision, now we know the stories. Where is Jesus right now? Can anybody tell me where Jesus is right now? He is sitting at the right hand of God. But Luke tells us in Stephen's vision that Jesus is standing next to the right hand of God. And I believe in that moment, the vision points out when we are suffering, when we are going through difficulties, because Stephen was about ready to give his life, because Luke tells us he's the first Christian martyr that gave his life when they stoned him to death. That vision of Jesus standing there waiting for him was what carried him through. And you and I, and the world is what carried Jesus through that week and what he was going to face. We could say in a kind of a upside down way that it was a palm success. Second thing I want us to see and talk about is palms of hosannas. Palms of hosannas. Now, I know, I've been there, I've done it. We celebrate on Palm Sunday, we wave our palms, we shout Hosanna, we sing Blessed is He Who Comes in the Name of the Lord. We sing that chorus so often, as we're going to sing at the end of the service, we will glorify the King of Kings, we will glorify, and we'll wave our palms. But you know what? Hosanna is a plea for God to save. A plea for God to save. People following Jesus shouted hosannas because they were looking for him to rescue or help them in their distress. And their cries were not necessarily hoorays or way to go, Jesus, but rather cries for help and cries for deliverance from their own suffering, pain, and threats of death. And I was drawn this week as I reread the story in Matthew that they didn't wave their palms. They laid them on the road for Jesus to go across over. And as I started to think about that, I thought we too can lift up our hosannas to Jesus and lay our cries of help at his feet. Did you notice they laid their palms on the road as he rode to Jerusalem? They laid him under his feet. We too can lay our cries for help at his feet. We may not have the courage. We may not have the strength. We may not have the power to face our pain and suffering like Jesus did on our own. Or maybe we're standing for somebody or helping somebody else in our family or whoever it may be, a friend who is suffering and going through pain right now. And we may not be able to do that on our own. But we can lay it at the feet of Jesus and know He understands pain. He understands suffering. He understands death. And we can share in His courage, strength, and power, because He stands with us and He stands with others. You know, I think Chase forgot what the trophy meant. Remember what he mumbled? Just participation trophy. Let me tell you something. That trophy, at least in my eyes, didn't just represent his participation in a soccer season. It included his training, his hard work, his skill, his pain, his sweat, his tears, his losses, and his victories that season. And like Chase's trophies, our palms, if we can look at it a little bit outside the box this morning, our palms represent everything Jesus did, what He faced, what He went through for you and I. He went to bat for you and I and the world. Love compelled Him to lay down His life, and He came out the other side of death victorious. And now we share in His victory. Last year, Jody brought one of the palms home. And she hung it on a nail, two nails, just below the mantle above our fireplace. It was spring. We weren't going to use the fireplace anymore. And it stayed up there and hung up there for months. And I remember every time I saw that, it brought back to my mind Jesus entering Jerusalem and what He faced that Holy Week. So here's my challenge. Keep your palms this year. Hang them somewhere where they remind you of what Jesus faced and what He did, and what we have received because of His love for us and the world. Keep palm and carry on. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a few seconds there, minutes or whatever. Greet one another, share the blessing, and then we'll close out with our chorus there. We will glorify the King of Kings. I am Lord Jehovah reigns. Well, let's join together for our benediction. Today, as we leave, we take hosannas with us. May God bless you, or may God bless and keep us. May God's face shine upon us and be gracious to us. May God look upon us kindly and give us peace. Amen.